tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I am convinced that there ought to be a praise from your lips, not just in here, but out there. Because many times the devil doesn't attack in here, he attacks out there. Especially at your work, after a red hot service, you need to stop and have a praise break. About three nods and one come on. I'm telling you, if you want to let God begin to be God and do some great things in your life, you just got to let loose. And Pastor Manzano's going to come and he's going to preach, and you're not going to scare him one bit. If you ran, shouted, did whatever, worship, praise, just don't hit him. You know, just love on him and say, preach with him. But I'm telling you, God has designed this service for you. And you're not here by accident or coincidence, but you're in the divine will of God. And God knew you're going to be here. So before he comes, I already feel the Holy Ghost here in an amazing way. And I believe God's going to do some amazing things for you tonight. But before he comes, I just want everybody to raise their hands and raise their hearts and their spirits towards heaven. And I want you just to pray a simple prayer. God, speak to me tonight. God, let me be an instrument you can use. I don't want to be just a hearer, God, of the word, but I want to be a doer of the word. I pray you'd anoint my ears that I may hear what the Spirit would have to say to me. I pray, God, that the anointing would fall upon this service. I pray angels would be dispatched around this sanctuary, God. God, we're hungry for you and we're thirsty for you. In the name that's above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, let it happen, God. Clap your hands unto the Lord as my friend Pastor Manzano comes.
God bless you. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Has anybody got the Holy Ghost tonight? So does anybody got the Holy Ghost tonight? Amen. Are you happy you're in the house of the Lord? Amen. I want to say, man, thank you to the leadership of this church. So awesome. Awesome to be here with the Abbotts. Amen, Sister Abbott. May God bless you. Love you. Amen. And the Grogans. Amen. Wonderful things happening in the house of God. Amen. Wonderful singing and amen. Worship happening in the house of God. That's always a wonderful thing. And it was hot today. It's hotter here than it is in the desert. So, and thank you for coming to the house of the Lord. Man, give yourselves a hand. Amen. Amen. Brave the weather. Amen. I know what it's like. We have a church in Lancaster, and everybody's on vacation, and people are on the ocean. And we're here tonight, though. We're here tonight, so we may as well just have some church tonight. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? We may as well just have the Holy Ghost come in. I've learned one thing. I've learned that when you worship God, things happen. When you worship God, the Spirit of God is interested in our worship. I'm going to start out a little bit slow. If you would open up with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 11, I want to start reading at verse number 10, and then we'll open up to Job chapter number 36, and we'll read at verse number 27. Deuteronomy chapter number 11, verse number 10. Amen. It was over 100 where we were, and we stepped in the house of God, and it was 69 degrees when we got in there. 69 degrees. But we woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning to start the air conditioner, so. Amen. You'd think we'd have it on a timer or something, but that just, it didn't happen that way. Amen. Let's read together. Let's read the Word of God. The Scripture says this: for the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh of the water of the rain of heaven. Job chapter number 36, verse number 27. For he maketh the small drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. Everybody say abundantly. Also, can any understand the spreadings of the clouds or the noise of his tabernacle? Something happens when we begin to worship God. It's not just running and shouting, but something happens in the atmosphere. I've learned this one thing, that if we can set a good atmosphere in the house of God, things can happen. Our worship is so important in the house of God. It's more than just a song. We actually, man, started our work 12 years ago, and we didn't have any live music for 4 years. So it's more than a song. People got the Holy Ghost still. Things happen still. So I want to speak to you on this thought. Hopefully I can bring it all together. Where are the rain dancers? Where are the rain dancers? And some say, where are the rain dancers? Just say, where are the rain dancers? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. In the name of the Lord. Israel had come to where they were headed. They were finally in the land where the Lord was leading them. And if there was one thing that God wanted Israel to know, it was this: that where you're headed is not like where you were coming out of. This was to be rudimentary. This was to be fundamental in their thinking. And he said this, he said, you used to be under the heavy hand of Egypt, but I have brought you out. And you used to work real hard for what you got, but where you're headed is somewhere very special. And the Bible lets us know that Egypt was a land of deserts. It was 75% sand. No forests, no trees. All there was a 12-mile fertile strip of fertile soil. And it was only fertile because of a river called the Nile River. Egypt only receives about an inch and a half rains per year. So the ground is very dry. And while they were in Egypt, Israel had to learn a few things. They had to learn how to capture rain. God wanted them to know that the economy that you're headed for is not like where you're coming out of. You had to work real hard to capture all that rain. You're coming from a world that you had to work for the water. You had to capture water. Amen. And I learned that one thing when I came to the house of God. I learned that the world that I was coming out of, it was a dry world. It was a hard world. But when I came to the house of God, there was rivers of living water. There was rivers of life when I came into this place and the Holy Ghost fell upon me. I'm going to tell you, the house of God is a fertile house. They didn't get rain in Egypt. That river starts way up in Uganda and it flows through 10 countries just to get to Egypt, because Egypt has no real water source of its own. It only steals from everybody else's water. You know, Egypt is like that. Egypt has nothing to offer, but it steals from everybody else. You want entertainment? We're going to steal. We're going to have worldly entertainment. But Egypt had no water source of its own. It only had the runoff from everyone else. And so we have our scripture reading where it said that you watered the land with your foot. It was an accumulation of artificial reservoirs that was prepared through thousands of years, and they had gullies and gutters and breaches and things. Thus, the scripture said that you watered the land with your feet. You see, watering with your foot was a very interesting history, because Egypt utterly depended on the sources that they created to water themselves. They were totally dependent on it to water the crops. They had to dig the holes. The water had to be moved and diverted
carried it, had to be compelled to go where they needed it to go just to sustain everyday life. And in the process, you became a slave to the system. You became a slave to compelling the water and urging the water to go. So life became about opening the gutters and closing the gutters and stopping the breaches and containing all this water. Amen. The worker was constantly walking, constantly kicking. They would do anything to just capture the water. But God tells Egypt, he said, the land where you're headed, you're not going to have to do that. The water's going to come from the heavens. Amen. You're headed to a valley. You're headed to the hills, and I'm going to be your provider. Rain is going to fall from heaven. You're not going to have to depend on the systems of the world anymore. I'm going to tell you, living for the Lord is easy. I'm telling you, when you come to the house of God and you give your life to God and you live for God hard, it's easy. He said, that will not work here. You're going to have to leave your old systems behind. It's not going to work in the house of God. God spoke to Abraham and he said, get thee out. You're going to have to leave your old life behind. The problem is he took the old man with him, Terah, which means delay. And he took Terah to the land of Haran, which means fruitlessness. And in not listening to the word of God, he was delayed from the promise, waiting in the land of fruitlessness because he didn't obey God, because he had the old man with him. And as long as he had the old man with him, he couldn't obtain the promises of God. Terah had to die. Then they had a funeral, and then he went on to the promise. But one thing that I've learned in living for God is the old man has to die. The old man has to die. And the quickest way to kill that old man, I'm going to tell you, the quickest way to kill it is to get yourself in the front when that organ starts up and when that keyboard starts up, and lift your hands and let the rain of God fall in this place. I'm going to tell you, why is it so hard for us to find an altar when it's time to worship? I'm telling you, if we will create that atmosphere of praise in this house of God, the rain from heaven will fall upon this place and it'll fill this house. Amen. Like the Bible says, and the old man will have to die. The old man will have to die. Terah had to die. There was only one way that it will become fertile is through the rain. The fundamental thing that God was letting them know is you're going to have to depend on me. You depended on you by kicking open, man, the gutters and the gullies and capturing the water, but you're not going to depend on you anymore. You got to depend on me. Your network, your planning, I'm taking you to the land of promise, and promise does not work with program. It only works with worship and prayer and praise. This promise that you're headed to only works with rain that comes from God. 2015, there was a huge fight going on in the Middle East. They were building a huge mega dam on the Blue Nile River, which is the source of the largest river in Africa. And it would produce the power of 6 nuclear power plants. And Sheikh Abdel Hamed from Egypt said, the dam and the diversion of water from the Nile River is a declaration of war on the people of Africa. Because he realized, if you stop the water, you're going to stop life. And let me tell you something. When the devil tries to stop the water from falling from heaven, and he tries to steal your worship, and he tries to suppress your praise, I'm going to tell you, it's a declaration of war upon this church. It's a declaration of war upon, come on, somebody. It's a declaration of war upon your family. What we need are some praisers in the house that'll change the atmosphere. Come on, praisers, where are you at? We need praisers in the house that are going to call down the rain from heaven. Oh, clap your hands to the Lord if you believe it works. It's a declaration of wars, and sometimes sitting idly by, not saying anything. Silence is consent. You ever heard that? Silence is consent. I'll just let her do it. I'll just let him do it. And so God was letting them know, you're fertile because you said I'm, because I said you're fertile. But you're not going to rely on anybody. The Jews had an interesting way of like communicating early on. The Jews understand, and the rest of the world talks about Mother Nature. But the Jews will say Mother Nature has a father. And they understand that we are only here by the grace and power of God. Say whatever you want. In the old Hebrew ancient language, it was made up of pictures and images and icons. That's what it was. And the word for rain was three characters. First was the head of a man for rain. Second was the symbol of a container. The third was a symbol that looked like waves of the sea. So there were three symbols. And when the Hebrews would write out rain, theirs included these three things: the head of a man, a container, and the waves of the sea, meaning that the rain was coming from the Father's container in the seas. The rain was coming from God's container. These old Hebrews understood that above my head is a multitude of water. Somewhere up there is everything that I need. That's why they wrote stuff like, I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. They used to have to carry it and kick it and compel it in Egypt. But when they came to the land of promise, they lifted their eyes and they had rain. They went on to say that the Lord God careth for this land. The eyes of your God are ever upon it from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. It says, and it shall come to pass if you hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart, soul, and strength. If you're going to get the rain, there's a few things that involve. If it involves listening to God, loving God, and serving God. Hearken diligently. Love the Lord your God, so, and serve him. What is the application of all of this, though, when we're talking about the reign of God and how God speaks and how it all happens? What's the application? Water is a symbol used to represent, we know, the Spirit of God. And when we say this, we need the Spirit of God, what we're saying is the Spirit brings, what the Spirit brings is liberty. We need the Holy Ghost in this house because we need liberty. People need to be set free. People need to be healed. People need to be delivered. Amen. They walk in and they need God. I've learned one thing. I was reading it in Genesis. And I've heard for years, you know, John 3:5, born of the water and the Spirit. If you get the Holy Ghost, man, you're not going to have to worry about alcohol and drugs and this and that. And after I started pastoring for about, man, 15 years, I thought, wait a minute, well, why? That doesn't always happen. People get the Holy Ghost and they walk outside and smoke a cigarette. What happened? Does that only happen in my church? But I was reading about the ark. The ark is a type of regeneration that comes over on the flood. Those waters represent judgment. And I was reading, Noah brings and loads clean and unclean, and clean and unclean came over the other side of the flood. clean and clean. And when the rain, when the water subsided, guess what? There was clean and there was unclean. People still wrestle with the junk they had when they walked in the ark. So we can get the Holy Ghost every day. But somewhere along the way, we got to kill this man. That's the answer, is killing him. And the easiest way, I've said it one time, I'm going to say it again because I really want you to get this, is your praise and your outward expression to God is a result of what's happening on the inside. Invariably, when I see people who have a hard time worshiping God, there's stuff going on the inside. Because anybody that's free, have you ever seen a man that's been locked up for 30 years walk out of prison? You know how he walks out? He's liberated. Something has happened in him. While he was in there, he was planning what was going to happen when he got out. And finally, when he got out, he's... What happens? So when God showed up in the presence of his people, the indication was this. The very old deep. The scripture says in Psalm 68, 8, the earth shook and the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. The old original word here is nataf, which literally means oozed. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain. When God showed up in the presence of his people, it was an indication of the very old deep that was filled with all of the potential of God. In the word of God in Genesis that says, in the face of the deep. So that word in Genesis was a picture of the rain that we read here. It was endless. There was water. And it was all the liquid potential of God that he would scoop up and say, all you need to do is call. All you need to do is ask. Amen. Because the rain that I've got for you is up there. But I've learned, you've heard the old saying, when the praises go up, God's glory.
Yes, sir. It's one of those skinny suits, so it's hard to get out. It's like
the skinny suits, I have a heart. I stand at home like this and they get it off for me when I'm preaching. I like to think I ain't skinny. Everything that was needed was there. That's why he said, Galatians 1:20, let the waters bring forth abundantly. It is the very same idea when it is presented before the people. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain whereby thou didst confirm thy inheritance when it was weary. What would it be like? You tell me. What would it be like to get all the liquid potential of God in one room? The face of the deep. The face of a man with a container in his hand with the seas of the ocean signifying it's endless. How do we do that? How do we get all of God in one room? Well, it's hard. I don't think we actually can, but I think we can get a lot of him in one room. This was the understanding when they wrote Joel, in the last days I will pour out my spirit. It was all the liquid potential of God. We think of it as, oh yeah, the Holy Ghost, man. If you are going to get the Holy Ghost, it's more than just the Holy Ghost. It's healing. It's people being set free. It's people's mind being rearranged. It's lukewarm people catching fire. I'm going to tell you something. If we ever get the revelation of what it is God is trying to tell us tonight, it's all the potential of God poured out upon his people. It's crazy.
Yes, sir.
The same way Israel was dependent upon the rain, This church, this apostolic church, needs the power of God resident. Those Jews were so descriptive. They understood and they preached and they really believed the fact that all the potential of the face of the deep was there. And all I have to do is worship. God said that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Jeremiah asked something. He said, Jeremiah 14, I think it's right around 22. He said, can the Gentiles give rain? He wasn't really asking the question. He was asking a rhetorical question. Can the Gentiles really give rain? What's wrong with you people? You left Egypt and you're in the land of Canaan and you're living like heathen and trying to live like and look like you were in Egypt. When God said, all you have to do is just worship me. I'm going to supply. Can the Gentile, in case you didn't know, mainstream Christianity is dying. Right now, as we speak, less than 17% of America attends church on Sunday. In Europe, it's less than 9%. Mainstream Christianity is dying. However, according to outside reports, the apostolics, not the UPCI reports, there is one segment growing and outpacing every religion, including in Islam, Mormonism, and everything else included. It's the world of Pentecost. They're growing. They're outpacing. And in countries like Africa and India, they're trying to figure out what's going on. They're losing entire denominations to the world of Pentecost. And they don't understand why. I understand why just fine. Because they have figured out in Africa. They have figured out in India. They have figured out in the Philippines how to get the presence of God there. They have figured out that if I will praise God and if I will give and if I will surrender to God, you see those services. I'm telling you, they walk for miles and miles to get to the house of God. And from the first note, they're hopping and jumping. It's like been Zumba class for 3 hours. And they're all over the place. But in America, people are walking out of churches in lieu of entertainment. The movie starts at 8 o'clock. I should leave a little bit early. All over America, churches are just becoming another spot to entertain people. Don't sing too loud. Don't worship too hard. Don't preach too loud or too hard or too long. They might not come back. I'm going to tell you something right now. People are looking for a genuine encounter with God, and they're depending on churches like this to bring the rain. They're depending on churches like this to look to the hills from whence cometh their help. They're depending on churches like this where they can walk in and their 19-year-old can be set free of heroin and methamphetamine. I'm telling you, it's only at the church, my friend. It's only in this church right here that people are going to find what they're looking for. Clap your hands if you believe that. People shop for churches like they shop for shoes. Have you seen some of your closets? Yes, sir. Yeah. They shop for churches. They are just networking. They are just kicking a canal. They are just holding the reservoir. They are just stopping the water long enough. They're stuck on the systems of Egypt, and they're watering the land with their feet. Trying to figure out, trying to go so far in God. God has promises for this city. God has promises for this church. But in my studies with Abraham, I read where God didn't open up in the road until the old man died. Lot was with him. You know, Lot is a weird guy.
Lot? Lot was with him.
Lot went with him to Haran. He stayed with him. Lot went with him to Egypt. Lot stayed with him in the famine. Lot was there, man. He didn't leave him. But the interesting thing is this. When Abraham got ready to enter into the promised land, the scripture said Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. Dude, this is what we're waiting for. This is what it's all about. God never spoke to Abraham and gave him the full, he didn't let him see the full promise until he left the old man behind. And Lot, I was thinking about that. I thought, my God, what's the deal, you know? I'll tell you why, because when you get ready to elevate, you know, there are some people that want just a little bit of Egypt to stay on them. Abraham was getting ready to leave Egypt for good. And Lot said, I ain't sure if I'm ready for all that. I kind of like Egypt. It ain't so bad. We got food. We got water. Hey, it ain't so bad. The famine is over. They're leaving churches, but I'm telling you. We need rain falling in these churches. We need rain falling in our churches. We need rain. How? Why? I'm telling you, this church needs rain. I noticed one thing. It's not raining everywhere. It's not. I'm talking about apostolic churches. I preach in apostolic church where it ain't raining. I'm just being honest with you. Deuteronomy 32:2 says this, my doctrine shall drop as rain. If we want rain, there needs to be a healthy dose of doctrine preached in the house of God. You start preaching about one God, Sister Abbott, I'm telling you the power of God will fall. You start preaching about Jesus' name, I'm telling you people will crawl the walls. The presence of God will come in this place. This writer said there that we need a healthy dose of doctrine in the church as well. We don't want to scare people. I'm telling you, we're one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy roller, born again, heaven-bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. There's power in the name. We sing about it. We preach about it. We talk about it. If you want rain in this church, we need to preach doctrine. Amen. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We need to preach doctrine. I'm telling you. My doctrine shall drop as rain. The programs, the events, we do them all. Trust me, I started our church. I've given away money, bites, all. I think we should do that. I do it. I still do it. Tacos. Dodger seats, I do it all. Just come and listen to me scream at you for a little while, and then you can be dismissed. And eat all the tacos you want. But they stay. You want to know why? Because there's rain. It's like the prisoner. I've never experienced this before. They've experienced the kicking of the gullies and the kicking of the water that they're trying to encapsulate, the very inch and a half a year that they're encapsulating. You know how much an inch and a half a year is? We would die if we had an inch and a half. Egypt survives year after year after year with an inch and a half of rain because they've learned how to steal everybody else's water. They've said, sloppy agape won't work in Canaan. You watch, you preach it. People will come, they'll get men filled with the Holy Ghost. We need young people that know and believe the message. Young people that believe the message, that know that there's no confusion. God's not the author of confusion. Their yea have to be yea, their nay have to be nay. I'm telling you, we need to run when we hear good preaching, just like we hear good music. We jump and shout with the music, and I love music. I'm right in the front row. I didn't even sit on the platform just in case I need to run. I don't have a seat on the platform. I don't need a seat. I'm a worshiper. You want to know why? Because I can't preach when there's no rain in my church. I'm a terrible preacher when the Holy Ghost ain't there. I'm telling you, I'm a terrible preacher if God is not there. If the people of God, come on somebody, come with me here. If the people of God aren't with me and we're not connecting, you know, there's this in the house of God. You've got to connect. And I need rain in my church. I can't preach good enough. I don't have a good enough name to get these people filled with the Holy Ghost. But if I can get the reign of God there, I promise you, lives will be changed. I'll turn my city upside down. I don't need a canal, a gully. I don't need an artificial reservoir. What I need is the rain from heaven. I'm telling you, crazy things happen in the house of God. Just this morning, I was at church. I was preaching something else. And God stopped me mid-sentence and said, I want to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. And I stopped. I said, God wants to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost today. Is there anybody? I don't know if there's anybody in there that needed the Holy Ghost. I can't see. We have these lights now and I can't see anyways, and it's just terrible. And I stopped mid-sentence, Pastor, and God wants to fill somebody. And this lady raised her hand. I said, thank you very much. God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost after mid-service. And I went on. And it was like that. But you know, rain, years ago I was in, trying to stay within my time here. I was in Kauai. Kauai is awesome. If you've never been to Kauai, go. Go. God have mercy. Stuff is like HD, Sister Abbott. You walk out, I can't even see. And I'm like, whoa. You want to know why? Because it rains a lot. And it clears everything out of the air, you know? All the stuff that's in the air and all that stuff, that rain falls and it clears out the air. And everything there looks HD. You don't even have to wear your glasses, Tristan. Don't worry. Just take them off and be free. And when the presence of God, when we create this environment on a Sunday morning, it's so easy to preach, Pastor. I'm telling you, it's like, and God said, woo! And it was so clear in there. So we went on. After my service, man, we had the altar call. It was crazy. People were everywhere from altar to altar. And I'm like, where did she go? I'm like, oh, man, when she left. And she's right there. I said, come here. Come here. You ready? Talk to her a little bit. Raise your hand. I didn't even get my hand on her head. And she was speaking in tongues for 12 minutes, 15 minutes. Why? Why? I'm telling you, because the rain was in that house and things were so clear. I was able to operate in the Holy Ghost because the peoples caused it to rain in that place. Their praises were going up. The worship was going up. And I'm telling you, the presence of God fell in that place. Amen. Give us hope up here if we can have the musicians to come. Sloppy agape's not going to work. What scholars are saying is this dying out. Be seated. I'm almost done. Not quite done. It's not a bad thing. They're saying it's not such a bad thing because it just means God's getting ready to do something new. Okay. I'll take that. You would think, my God. They're not sure what it is. I don't know what God's doing. He's doing something new, but we do. Mainstream Christianity isn't sure what it is, but we know what it is. It's rain. It's power. It's the Holy Ghost. These are the same scholars that agree.
that oneness apostolics have always been on the outside of the mainstream. Always. They've always been on the outside of the system, doing their own thing. The system. Kicking the reservoirs and opening up the gutters and trying to make it happen and trying to manipulate an inch and a half rain a year. That's why when you walk into a church that has no spirit, they walk in and they walk out. Give me power. Give me spirit. Give me something that can change my life. So the question they have is, why now is Pentecost trying to fit into the mainstream? They're puzzled when the whole time we've operated on God's economy, on the Spirit of God. Why would they try and copy a dying equation? Why? We have praise. We have word. I want to get under the spout where God's glory is coming out. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what I sound like. I don't care if I'm up here on a Sunday night sweating and spitting and doing what we do. I'm going to tell you, our young people are on fire. You read the reports. They're changing the world. Our youth congresses, I'm telling you, they're record setting. Why, if we're so on the outside? We're not on the outside, baby. We're setting the trend because we've got a revelation of the worship and the power of God that is associated with our worship. I'm going to tell somebody in this place, never be ashamed to get up in this aisle and praise God and magnify the Lord. All you're doing is you're inviting the rain from heaven. He said, you're going to depend on me for everything you do and everything you get. The scripture said, Zechariah 14:17, and it shall be that whosoever will not come up of the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon him shall be no rain. Whoever stays home during the feast, you know, in Israel, I'm not going to get all into the feast. In Israel, they had been seven feasts. They had three, one, and three. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. Then they went home for a couple months, came back. They had Pentecost, went home again and had atonement and tabernacles. This was every year. He said, those of you that will not come up with all of the families to Jerusalem to worship, God would withhold the rain from their crops. That is scary. A non-worshiping church will not have revival. It doesn't matter how good the programs are. It doesn't matter how large the reservoirs are to get that water. It doesn't matter the networks, the coffee shops, the greeting teams, the follow-up teams, the breakfasts. It doesn't matter. I want a coffee shop. I would love to have it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of these things. We need these things. Not saying there's anything wrong, but we need to depend on the rain from God. This church right here is on the precipice. I'm telling you, I know there's a lot out today. I know that already, but I'm telling you, this church is on the precipice. And if you, I don't sing and I don't preach and I don't greet, I don't do anything. You know what you can do? One of the greatest things you can do is you can set the atmosphere in this place. You can walk in this place and you can wave your hands to God. You don't have to be anybody to anything to anybody. But if you will get the revelation, Pastor, I'm going to make you the best preacher that this world has ever seen. I'm telling you, because it's not our knowledge. God never chose knowledge to communicate with man. It was always revelation. It was always revelation. It was always his power. It was always his spirit. My God, Pastor, I'm going to do it. I'm going to create an atmosphere every time we assemble ourselves together.
Job said this, for he maketh small drops of water. They pour down according to the vapor thereof. The vapor. It pours down rain according. It was conditional to what went up. It rains. Rain is vapor that rises from the ocean, forms the clouds, and they move inland, and it rains upon the land. Now let's read this. For he maketh small drops of water, and they pour down according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. Also, can any understand the spreadings of the clouds and the noise? The noise. Everybody say noise. I did some research here. I'm thinking, what does this have to do with anything? God connected noise in the tabernacle with the rain from heaven. Why? Why? That noise. When you walk into a church and you're walking in and you know when they're having some Holy Ghost church, you just listen to hear what's happening. And he said it. Job had a revelation. He said the spreading of the clouds or the noise of the tabernacle. I wish, you know, this noise that I'm preaching about. You know, we need to invite the rain. Where are the rain dancers? Where are the noise monk? Where are those that'll say, you know what, God? I got it. Noise, worship, invite the presence of God. You know, worship from the top to the bottom to the top. It'll change this church in 30 days. In 30 days, it'll transform this church. I promise you, if you will stand to your feet right now, and if you can get an understanding, I'm telling you, stop watering the ground with your feet. God said, you're not going to have to work for it. You've been praying for your son for a long time. Stop watering the ground with your foot. Start looking to the hills from whence cometh your help. I'm telling, are there any rain dancers in this place? Is there anybody that'll say, you know what? I understand. I get it. It's the noise. It's the worship. It's my adoration to God that's going to bring the rain from heaven. I wish I had somebody right now that would start making that noise. Come on, church. Come on, church. Start making that noise tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice, church. The next 30 days, I'm going to start at this altar area. The song leader's not going to have to invite me up. It's the atmosphere that I'm going to create. My God, I promise you, it'll change the economy of souls in this church. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. The spreading of the clouds and the noise of the tabernacle. Oh, come on, lift your voice tonight. That's it. That's it, abundant life. That's it, abundant life. Oh, hallelujah. There's a noise. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain.
Bring light to the darkness.
I hear the sound of an arabo sokaya labaha. Come on, I commit, Pastor. I'm going to bring the rain. I'm going to bring down the rain. I'm going to bring down the rain.
Are you, Lord?
I'm bringing it down.
Your So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath.
Oh, I hear the sound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, my God, let it fill all the house. Let the container of God's potential be loosed in this place. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
Pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs.
Where are the rain dancers at? Where are the rain dancers at? Where are the rain dancers at? Come on, rain dancers.
So we pour out our praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, rain dancers. Bring it down. Bring it down. Bring it down. Bring it down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. That's it. Oh, hallelujah. That's it. Come on, rain dancer. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 That's it, abundant life. That's it, abundant. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Every service, every Sunday, I'm gonna bring it down. Every Sunday, I'm gonna bring it down. I'm gonna come with an air of expectation to the house of God. My God, I'm depending upon you, God. The noise in the tabernacle. The noise in the tabernacle. The noise in the tabernacle.
freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face.
Hallelujah.
There Hallelujah. Is freedom. Hallelujah. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One more time, all across this building. Would you lift your hands? Would you raise your voice one more time? Oh, hallelujah. Rakasala. Fill this house with noise. One more time. One more time, with hands raised towards heaven, voices loving him, voices in adoration, voices in appreciation of the goodness of the Lord. I love you, Jesus. I bless your name. Thank you for the freedom, God. Thank you for the freedom. Thank you for the freedom. Thank you for the freedom. Hallelujah. What a wonderful presence of the Lord that's here. Thankful God for the word of God. I challenge you. Every service is recorded on podcast. Go on ALC Media. You need to listen to this message over and over and over. Get that in your spirit. Let that begin to reverberate inside you. Begin to praise God, not just here, but praise God when you're in your car. Praise God when you're at work and all the pressures are coming upon you. Take those praise breaks and send it up. So you send that up and that rain begins to fall. You begin to feel the refreshing. Amen. I want to be a praise dancer, don't you? Amen. One more time collectively. Could we love the Lord? Could we thank him? God, we love you. God, we thank you for your power. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your touch and your anointing. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Manzano. Wonderful, wonderful job. Stay here as long as you like. Amen. God bless you. Those that need to be dismissed, you can. Amen. Love everybody.